Hi, Paul Sakis, Good News Planet. I'm speaking with Lonnie Anderson. Hey, Lonnie, how are you?
Hey, thanks for having me, Paul.
Lonnie, I'm very happy to have had the opportunity to see some of your work. And a mutual friend, Sandra Abbott, said to me, you know, I know somebody that did a project for the Dalai Lama, because I had mentioned to her we were broadcasting the 83rd birthday of the Dalai Lama. And then you sent me a gorgeous piece of art. I'm going to call it artwork. Maybe you call it something differently. And we'll show people the picture. So tell us about that specific piece of work, and then maybe give us some background on yourself.
Sure. A few years ago, a friend of mine from Sedona said she was going to Washington, D.C., to go see the Dalai Lama speak for his 75th birthday. And they were taking cards and, well-wish a pack of cards, you know, from people thanking him for everything. And she goes, hey, maybe you'd like to make something for the Dalai Lama. I'm taking these cards to the Dalai Lama, and maybe you'd like to make something. And I said, sure, that'd be cool. And a friend of mine in the town I live in is one of the foremost authorities on zoetropes. And a zoetrope is a precursor to the motion picture. It's a little spinning basket with images inside, and your eye looks through the little slats as they go by, much like a motion picture. And so they change. And he had been trying to get me to make a zoetrope for several years. So I told him about this opportunity to make something for the Dalai Lama, and he goes, let's make a zoetrope for the Dalai Lama. And I said, cool, that'd be fun. And, well, 3.5 months later, I finished the zoetrope. He took care of the inside. Well, let me back up a little bit. Inside of this basket, spinning basket, are heavy paper, almost a cardboard disc. It's about 10 inches in diameter. And he's got a computer program where he can put Tibetan Sanskrit prayers on this disc so that as it spins, the prayers talk. You can read the prayers as the basket is spinning. So your eye is seeing this visual prayer as this basket is spinning. And he provided, I think it was 7 or 8 different prayers, Tibetan prayers. Now, I didn't know what they said. I mean, it was all in Sanskrit, and I don't read Sanskrit. But the concept was very cool. And so I spent 3.5 months building this I call it a prayer wheel. Technically, it would be a zoetrope, but I had several starts and do-overs, and I really got into it because I wanted to make this special. Number one, how often do you get a chance to build something for the Dalai Lama? And then number two, it had to be from my heart. I had to be totally happy with it. I had to be totally in sync with what the purpose of this wheel was, not just as a novelty, but I wanted it to be something that was meaningful and had some sort of purpose. And so we came up with this wheel, and I built it out of different woods that had the types of colors that the Tibetan monks' robes were, the colors of their robes would be. So I used a yellow heart. I think it's a South American exotic wood. It's in the rosewood family, and it's extremely hard to work with, very difficult. And that took care of the kind of sort of goldish yellow color of their robes. And then the other, one of the other colors of woods that I used was called, bloodwood. And bloodwood has that deep red kind of sort of maroon color to it. And so that was the other color that I used for their robes in this. And everything had to be divided up into segments of 13, which is one of their sacred, one of their sacred numbers. So you can imagine cutting segments like a pie of something into 13 is difficult. Doing something in segments of 12 is easy. But so I had a lot of miscuts on scrap wood to come up with the exact degree angle to cut all of these segments to make it come up to 13 spaces. And 13 happens to be the number of spaces that you need for a zoetrope to make the image inside move forward. Because if you had an even number, you would come back to the same image each time, and they wouldn't move forward. So there's a science to the zoetrope method to make it move forward. And there was also the corresponding 13 as the Tibetan sacred number. So there was a lot of thought that went into the zoetrope. And I used a bearing that came from our family farm in Minnesota, and I cleaned all the grease out of it and put some real light machine oil in there so that this thing would spin as you grab the rim and you throw it around, and it spins for quite a long time. Now it's on a pedestal, and inside the pedestal are three sacred objects. That were given to me by one of them was a figurine that was given to me by a Buddhist friend in Sedona. Another one was a shard of glass that had a lotus flower etched on it, and that was given to me by a friend in Canada. And then another friend gave me a little mandala that had a prayer on it. So those were permanently sealed inside. Not to ever be seen, but they were meant to be a bit like the Tibetan stupa. The stupa is a statue or a monolith that has sacred objects inside that the Tibetans, hold dear. And so there was some symbolism with putting these sacred objects inside. Never to be seen, but to be used as a energy, to enhance the energy of the prayer wheel.
Wow. Wow. So you've, I know, created a lot of, furniture and art. You're in California for some time, working and sharing your skills with the maybe a lot of the homes right there in Beverly Hills and all around.
I did do some work up in Beverly Hills for some people that you would recognize on TV, and one of those was a pretty popular singer, and she had a house in Laguna Beach, and I did some work in her house. I did quite a bit of work in California, and it was a very, very successful time for me. So
beautiful. So you sent me a lot of pictures. I'm going to show those as well during our of some of your work. Okay. While we go along here, you're talented by far, off the charts talented, and I love your career. We're going to share the background of growing up on a farm in western Minnesota. I'd like to ask you two questions, Lonnie.
Sure.
If you don't mind, because we're involved with this and peace movement, the International Day of Peace on September 21st. And so I've asked many people, what does peace mean to them? So, Lonnie Anderson, what does peace mean to you?
You know, peace becomes a personal thing to each person, but I think it's universal. I think it's something you have to feel all right with who you are, your place in the world, what your purpose is, And some people don't learn what their ever learn what their purpose is, but you have to be at peace with that as well. You might be in a lifetime of servitude to somebody, and so you're being called upon to give of your talents for a purpose that might be unknown to you, or might be easily seen by other people, but you're just doing your job. And I think, when you become okay with who you are and what you're doing, it becomes fun. And then once the fun starts to happen, that is where your creative side, your connection to the creator is sparked, ignited when you are having fun, because we were supposed to do things with love and to the best of our abilities. And yes, in this life, we have to make some money to put food on the table and put gas in our cars and pay for things that we need in a physical world. But you have to understand that those are all superfluous to our major purpose. And our major purpose sometimes isn't evident. We might go through a whole lifetime and not know what our purpose is. But you have to be okay with that. Because even in not knowing what your purpose is, you have to know that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here.
Wow. Wowie zowie. That's a lot of brilliance going on there. Thank you, Lonnie. Let me ask you the last question. Oh, boy, that really is helpful. Those saying words. So I thank you for that. I can see the Dalai Lama, who has these life thoughts on compassion and love. I'm going to try to get this message that you just shared to him, for him to hear that. Oh. Last question I ask people is, what does love mean to you? So, Lonnie, what is love for you?
I think you can look at love as something that is not really definable. People sometimes ask me, it's like, what is it you're doing, and why do you continue to do what you're doing? It's like, sometimes I make some money on a project, other times I kind of sort of lose my butt on a project. You still have to do your job. You still have to do it with integrity and to the best of your abilities, and you have to love what you're doing. So love is really about encompassing, embracing your talents, who you are. Knowing who you are helps enormously in loving people, loving yourself, loving your job, loving where you live. And, it's not always ideal. I've been in situations where I didn't really love where I was at. I didn't really love the situation I was in. But you have to understand that there are times you're going to go through. We're going to be tested. We're going to be tested to see how do you deal with this situation. A friend of mine's dad told him as a kid, he's like, you know what? You can put up with a little crap for a little while. So most things pass, and you have to go through our trials and tribulations, knowing that the love is pervasive in everything we do, even if it's not always fun. Growing up on a farm in western Minnesota, I didn't particularly love baling hay. You're out baling hay in the hottest part of the day, and lifting bales. And then I wasn't a particularly beefy guy, so I was lifting bales that were probably too heavy for me. And I counted one day, we did 2,000 bales at 50 pounds per bale. That gets to be quite a bit of a weight, you know, during the day. And cutting the weeds out of the fields, that was not fun. Now, granted, I'm not a farmer anymore, so evidently I went towards what I did love to do. So I guess that could be a part of it too. Is you move towards the thing that you love. If you love doing embroidery, then do embroidery. If you love doing mechanic work, then be a mechanic. But you have to be happy with what you do, and you have to love it.
All right, Lonnie Anderson, thanks for sharing a lot of good news with us, and I really appreciate the conversation, and I look forward to meeting you.
All right.
One of these days when you got a moment.
I would love that. That would be great. Anyway,
thanks,
you for
Lonnie.
Having me. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it a lot. You take care. Bye.
Bye now.